Hello, everybody. I'm Kenneth Copeland. This is the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. And this is Kelly and John in the order in which they came. Well, haven't these things been good? Because it's been an opportunity to share our testimonies with you of our lives together. And so now, and I'm going to talk about glory some more this morning, today. In 1988, while living in Wichita Falls, I found the BVOV broadcast on TV and started watching it every time it came on. I became a partner in 89 through watching the broadcast and started receiving partner letters and magazines. I also ordered the devotional from Faith to Faith and began reading it. In 1993, I was in a management training program with the company that I was working for, but I knew that God was calling me to do something for Him. As I was driving home from work one day, I was listening to a Christian radio station, and suddenly, there was a man talking about finding a career with Kenneth Copeland Ministries. I knew that's what God wanted me to do! Exclamation point. I went home, put my resume together, and mailed it to the ministry. I started working here at KCM February the 22nd, 1994. Praise the Lord, Charlotte. 1994. Praise God. Now, the testimony does not build faith. It builds capacity for faith. Now, it builds capacity, but faith came. So, have you enjoyed the testimony of our lives together? Well, these testimonies, what we're sharing, the word that's come from it will give you faith. Faith comes. It can't not come unless somebody rejects it. And I want to point out something. As I would talk about different things, John had something that relates to. Mm-hmm. Kelly said, not mixed with faith. I knew where it was. That's because we've been together all of their lives. And as they moved in other areas, it was still there. There was a time that John said, Daddy, may I bring my tithe to you? I said, sure, come on. And he said, way I've been living, ain't no time to rob God. What? He knew exactly what the book says about tithing.
Yes.
I didn't tell him that, except when he was very young. But it was in him.
That's it.
And it was that time he said he wanted to get out of the home. And he did. But he brought his tithe to me.
Praise God.
That was his statement. The way I've been living, it is no time to rob God. And I expect God sitting there saying, look at that boy. Now, to God, that's precious.
Yeah. Yes, it was.
With Him, it's precious. He can take care of the other part. And did. But that's the precious part.
Oh, I love... Again, we talked recently about what the Lord told Abel, Cain, the bad one. Uh-huh. I get them confused sometimes. He said, if you do well, will you not be accepted?
Yeah.
So it wasn't about what he was doing out there. No, it was how he came to God.
What he did well.
Yeah. What he.
That's
did
the way well. It did me.
He was accepted.
I mean, it blessed my heart because it let me know where his heart and mind was. So, let's go back here to this fifth chapter of, if you read four leads into five. You know, these were letters. Somebody else gave us the numbers, bless their hearts. And sometimes their little marks are in the wrong place, but that's not my problem. Now, we having the same spirit of faith, we speak. For we know, well, he knows something. We know this earthly house, this tabernacle were dissolved. We have a building of God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly. Look that up in your Amplified, please. For in this we groan earnestly. That's 5:2.
Okay. Can we read it?
Yes.
Here indeed in this present abode, body, we sigh and groan inwardly because we yearn to be clothed over. We yearn to put on our celestial body like a garment to be fitted out. I like that word. Filled out. Fitted, to be fitted out, outfitted, with our heavenly dwelling, so that by putting it on, we may not be found naked without a body.
Well, that's what it says here. Being clothed, that we shall be found naked. Mm-hmm. For we are in this tabernacle do groan, being burdened. Not for that we would be unclothed, but clothed upon that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Glory to God.
Well, chapter 4 is all about the light coming
out of us.
And
yes,
the true treasure that's coming out of the clay jar. It's not about the clay jar. It's about the treasure coming out.
That's right.
And then he continues to say in chapter 4, it's actually one of my favorite chapters in the whole Bible, because it's about looking at Jesus, the one who's filling us, and not looking at the seen, but the unseen. We're living from and for the unseen. Mm-hmm. And Dad, you know, all this whole time we've been talking, this whole week, John mentioned it the first day, fear of loss, that just keeps hitting mm-hmm. my heart, that mm-hmm. it needs to, that fear of loss is based on the seen. Mm-hmm. And the seen is nothing. It's nothing compared to the unseen. It's nothing in power compared to the unseen. The circumstances we see is nothing compared to what's unseen, the light of God on the inside. Our condition of our life, our bodies, our circumstances is temporal compared to what
is
the unseen light, the unseen power. It's unseen until you look at it and it starts coming out and manifesting out here. Five is really the culmination of everything it says about what's in us that we put on. We have already been outfitted.
Yes, we have.
You know, can I just say this? When you would go skiing, one of John's friends always called you equipment man. Because you had the equipment. You had the outfit. You had the this and the this and the this and the goggles. You and Mom, man, stylish and outfitted for what you were doing, for what you were about to do. And so you would say to me, I would every time, almost as a kid, we'd go skiing and I'd say, I'm cold. I'm so cold. And of course, I was not outfitted for the slopes. I was outfitted with the right kind of hat, not mm-hmm. really a hat, or not a hat, because my hair looked good. Wanted my hair to look good when I was 20. And you'd say, Kelly D, if you would put on a hat, your toes would be warm. I'm like, that makes no sense. That makes no sense to me. And every time, if you would put on a hat, your toes would be warm, your fingers would be warm. So when I was about 40, I thought, I really don't care how I look right now. I am so cold. And I got a better hat. And I'm like, yeah, he was right. I don't know if I ever told you you were right, but my toes and my fingers finally
Well, your head's
warm.
Like a chimney and all the heat goes right out your head.
But you were trying to outfit
me. Her feet had to get
me.
Really cold before she believed what I said.
But you were trying to outfit me perfectly. But you knew, equipment man knew. But we've been outfit. I don't know. I just see that in my mind.
The proper equipment is proper protection.
Yes, yes. Ooh, yes.
I never went skiing in my jeans in my life. They weren't made for that. No. And if you in a place where you need to do that, well, just believe God for the proper clothes. And he'll see to it that you get it.
Yeah.
And that brings up a... We went to Steamboat Springs and went into the ski storage where they had, went in there, and Amazing Grace was being played. And I said, is that Amazing Grace? And this man said, yeah. Well, I said, I think it's just wonderful. I'm a preacher. I'm Kenneth Copeland. He said, you're the Kenneth Copeland? We became such powerful friends that we were able to minister to he and his wife when he had cancer. In a ski storage store.
You know why?
Kathy's Nichols.
You and Mom, and you taught us to be this way. You did not ever walk out the door, wake up in the morning, or go to bed at night without walking in faith. That's our equipment.
That's who we are.
So when you were off skiing and we were on vacation, you're never off. You know, you're never on vacation for your mouth. There's so many preachers and people who talk right when somebody's looking, and when they think nobody's looking, they just talk, you know, live all kinds of ways, take a vacation from their faith and the way to live. Not this family. It was, if you were messing up, you knew you were messing up, and you're like, I need to get this right.
We'd go on those motorcycle rides together and preach. I'm telling you, we preached to one another, and some great revelation came out of those rides. But on those rides, all of us were just literally preaching all the time. And we'd either take our bikes on the trucks and things and get out together. And we just talked Jesus the whole time we were gone. And we'd talk Jesus, and Jesse would make us laugh. And there, we went into a place one time, and they had these caps with hair coming out the back of them.
Like fake hair.
Yeah, I was coming out the back of the cab, and it's spread doing like this. And I looked over there, and Kathy is on the back, and she's plaiting that hair.
Jesse had one on.
And I said, Gloria, she's done that before, because Jesse talked about when his hair was way down, and so she's plaiting it behind that cap. And they didn't know, really, right at that moment, how much joy that brought to us.
That's right.
Because we were no different on the road, on a motorcycle. We didn't take a vacation from our faith. It just brought the joy of the Lord.
I'm telling you, what we're seeing now is the... And I know it looks like the enemy is destroying things in ministry and churches and stuff, but if he doesn't have a foothold there, he can't destroy it.
That's right.
If God
That's
built right. it, Satan can't destroy it. So where people may be trying to be a faith person on a stage or on the world stage or in front of people, when you trust the Lord, you're believing God, even if you've messed up, that relationship and faith in God will keep you in the zone, yes. in the place of His being able to lead you, correct you, as Hebrews 12 says. And it brings encouragement. That Hebrews 12 says, don't forget the encouraging word. And then he goes on about correction, mm-hmm. discipline.
The encouragement comes first.
Mm-hmm. You know, I had this at the beginning, and I was just going to wait to see if it opened up for a place to say it. But what you said, I think a lot of people don't feel like faith will work for them because of guilt or shame or condemnation, mm-hmm. right? Because they're not perfect. I can understand it working for Kenneth because he's, you know, this faith giant. But for me, because I have this in my life or this in my life, or I've done this in my past, I'm not worthy, and God probably won't work for me like He works in your life or another minister's life, because they're up here and I'm way down here. And Satan uses that guilt, shame, condemnation to keep you from expectations of God working in your life. And he wants to keep you down here in this pit. And you don't have to be in this pit because God doesn't look at those things. You know, you've repented, you've moved on. Those things are gone. He doesn't see that. But if you put this word in you and this word comes out of you, the faith is not a respecter of persons. You know, it doesn't respect, you know, dad more than it respects somebody else who's a plumber or, you know, electrician or a politician or whatever. It's God's not a respecter of people. He's a respecter of faith. Yes, and so no matter what you've done, no matter what you've been through, you repent, ask for forgiveness. That is gone. It's washed away. Even if you mess up again and you do something else that you regret or wish you didn't do, you do the same thing. But it is not something that will keep faith from working in you. The only thing that will keep faith from working in your life is your lack of applying it and your lack of hearing the word, because faith comes from the word.
Good, John. Yes.
And so without that, you don't have the fuel tank in you, right? You got to build that faith up in you through the word. But it works for everybody, just like it would work for him or Oral Roberts or Kenneth Hagin. But Satan is going to try to trick you into thinking that it's not going to work for you.
Yeah.
And it's a lie. And I just want you to...
Now, did Jesus or did he not say, I was in prison and you didn't visit me?
Uh-huh.
Well, what's the use of him visiting prison if he's not going to forgive the prisoner?
That's right.
And you've heard me say a lot of times before, I baptized a serial killer. Well, they had to only convict him of one. And so I was with him. And I won't go into that whole story. But they had this little cage here. And I said, Stephen, do me a favor, brother. I told him before, I said, you have time. He said, I don't want to reprieve or anything else. I want to get out of here. But he said, I only have a 5-year-old boy. And I really don't even want him to know I ever existed. So I said, Stephen, let me know. I said, you know, the Bible said grace is sufficient. He said, yeah. I told him,
he was about to be put to death.
Yeah, he was right there ready. And I said, Stephen, you have time enough here to be an expert on prayer. And he's a brilliant man. And he was. Knew the scripture. I said, you know, the Bible says grace is more than enough. He said, yes. Well, I'm talking to me. I said, do me a favor. All right. Let me know if grace is enough. And right, listen, lethal injection, that thing makes a noise. Bang! You know, it's just seconds away. And he went. More than enough.
More than enough. And it's more than enough for all of us.
I taught him through the word that he was a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, the Spirit of God had John bring this up, the condemnation. So, let's go to the 8th chapter of Romans. In the 23rd verse, I see another law working in my members, working against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my flesh. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ, the Messiah, our Lord. So then with my mind, I receive the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Therefore, now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit, who walk after the Word. None. There is none. Self-condemnation causes depression and then fussing and fighting. Why, you did that to me. No, you did that to me. No, the devil did it to both of you.
That's right.
I think people have a hard time forgiving themselves a lot.
Oh, yeah.
That's probably a bigger deal than forgiving others for them.
Well, that's what, you know, the word said, love your neighbor as you do yourself. And Now, let me tell you about Gloria and why she's not here. In this really terrible car wreck that we had, she had a brain injury. And she, listen.
Years ago.
Yeah, long. In the
60s.
66. And then we went to Oregon in 67. We didn't realize it at the time, but it was caused in that car wreck. And I won't go into all that. Well, and now, y'all better look out. And now, and there, her physical therapy and the things she's doing, as she's getting so much stronger. Praise and there, her people that are helping her, and she gets where now she's walking all over the, all strong enough to walk all over out in the grounds and everything. And here just recently she said, well, wait a minute, wait, I'm not going out there. Why? I need my Bible. So she's carrying her Bible, walking around. I'm telling you. Yes. And this coming year is the year.
Amen.
And I believe it in my heart, and I say it with my faith. She will be with me at Southwest at Healing School.
Yes.
Now, I want to make another announcement publicly. Are you ready for this?
Yes.
Benny Hinn is going to help me do healings. He's going to help all of us do Healing School this year at Southwest.
Yes.
Hallelujah. And have you noticed on the Victory Channel, he's begun to come on in the evenings?
Yes.
That's because I asked him to do it.
Praise God.
And it'll go from where he is right now in Caris Bible College. But you see all of these other buildings and it's just crammed full. He's going to work his way into those meetings so that we'll all be a part of the healings inside those meetings in Benny Hinn. Because Benny and I have been together a long, 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 long time. Amen.
I think you ought to, I want to be in the room. Two generals
pressing
in for more. Because these aren't generals. They're like resting on what they know. Resting on, yeah, I'm good. I live by faith. No, they're pressing. You're pressing.
Yes.
You're pressing. He's pressing. Yes. Pressing through things, growing, coming up higher. And I'm not gonna miss that.
That's good.
Hey, Dad. Well, we still have some time. I just want to tell you how much I appreciate you.
Me too.
Well, thank you, John.
You have lived the example for not just Kelly and I, but and the rest of your kids, grandkids, but for the people. I just want to say it before I forget about it during this broadcast. You've lived the example. You've shown us by example. I couldn't imagine having a father or be more proud of anybody than I am of you.
John, thank you, sir. I receive that. That blesses me beyond measure.
You live humbly, you walk mercifully, and you're hungry for Jesus.
Yes,
you're hungry for what you don't know. You're hungry for more. You're hungry to talk to Him more, grow more. And I just feel like you're worthy of following. Because you're following Him.
Yes.
And you've introduced us to be able to follow Him directly. You've never tried to be God or icon or hero, but yet you're a hero in the faith, and we appreciate you.
We just have a great God, don't we?
Yes, we do.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
And we're out of time. Give the Lord another praise.
When there are obstacles that seem insurmountable and nothing seems to be going right, God already made a way to empower you to succeed. In his book, The Blessing of the Lord Makes Rich, and He Adds No Sorrow With It, Kenneth Copeland reveals God's original design was for you to thrive. He always intended for you to live enriched and whole in every area, spirit, soul, body, financially, and socially. Jesus gave you the authority to rule and empowers you by the Holy Spirit to succeed. He set you free from the law of sin and death. You were created in God's image, called to live in His victory. Fear, lack, and confusion have no hold when you're living in the blessing. Jesus connects you to the blessing, and your faith receives it. Develop your faith and let God's love drive fear out. Step into the blessing of the Lord and accomplish God's will for your life. To get your free copy of Kenneth Copeland's book, The Blessing of the Lord Makes Rich, and He Adds No Sorrow With It, go to kcm.org.uk/TV special or call 01225-787-310. No matter where you are in the progress of your life as a Christian, learn more about God as you dig deeper into the vital message of the blessing. Postage charges may apply. Contact your regional office today. The Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast study notes will help you dive deeper into these powerful word-based teachings. Get all 5 days of notes at one time. Use them during the week for your personal study time. Download them free at kcm.org.uk/notes. Create a special family devotional time to follow along with the notes as you watch the broadcast. Study the scriptures with your children and begin instilling God's word now. Use these notes to build your faith library and build up a heritage of faith.
If you are in Christ, then are you Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise? You ought to be loosed from that infirmity, bless God. You ought to be free. You ought to be debt free. You ought to be pain free, glory to God. You ought to be sick free.
Join us for the New Jersey Victory Campaign with Kenneth Copeland and Keith Butler, June 26th through the 28th. Register at kcm.org/NJ today.
I want to remind you that there's agreement in prayer. Matthew 18, 19, and 20 says, "If any two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything that they shall ask, it shall be done for them with my Father which is in heaven. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them." Why? To carry out the agreement. Amen. So if you need prayer, call the prayer line. Our prayer ministers are on staff, and they are trained in the Word of God. They'll pray scriptures over you and stand in faith with you and put God's word first place and final authority in your life. Get on the blessing side. Praise God. These prayer people at KCM offices around the world. So contact the office nearest you, kcm.org. Thank you for joining us today. We'll see you tomorrow. This is Kenneth, Kelly, and John reminding you, God loves you, and we love you,
and Jesus is Lord.
Kenneth and Gloria Copeland want to thank you for joining us on the Believer's Voice of Victory broadcast. To learn more about Kenneth Copeland Ministries and how we can help you grow in faith, check out our website for free content and resources available to you on kcm.org.uk.